bless you. We praise you. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. You're a good God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Carter Jones is my grandson, and he decided he was going to be a cross-country runner this year. So he's been running. And his dad had to teach him. He was starting out fast, so he's not coming in as some of the first, you know, because he's running all his stuff out in the beginning. He takes off fast and then slows down. Dad was trying to tell him, you know, why don't you go ahead and start pace yourself. So he's got him on a treadmill, teaching him to pace himself, and then when you get to the end, give a push. So I just want to ask you, when the days come where we find out that we're really in the end of days, do you sense that you'll run harder? Do you sense that you'll run harder to get things done, that you won't just be believing for cars and houses, but you'll be believing for souls and, you know what I mean? You're believing to help people and things like that, you know? Do you?
Yeah.
You better get to running.
Yep. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Acts 3:1 because we are there. We're there. You're like, well, I don't want to be here. Well, mamas and daddies, remember when the baby was coming and transition was happening? And you can't walk away from transition?
No, it's too late.
You can say, I'm not going to have this baby, never mind. It won't work. You're in transition. It's going to happen. So I'm just telling you, might as well get your grace on and take your grace, because we're in transition right now. Praise the Lord. Acts 3:1. Are we up yet? Hello, welcome. We're glad you're here with us tonight. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. And it wasn't because he was broke. Get past that. He wanted him to have something else. Okay, so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now this, of course, is the miracle at the gate, Beautiful. It involved Peter, John, and the lame man, right? He's a beggar. But I want to show you that it involved an additional element. Until that day, the beggar had only been focused on one thing. He was focused on money. It's all he needed. He was placed there every day at the temple. He's walking there. This is how he's able to make his living. They're helping him by taking him out there, and he's just holding his hand out. This is what he did. He's just holding his hand out. He's just begging. So that day, like other days, he is on autopilot. So he's just on autopilot. He just got his hand out. That's all he's doing. So he didn't really engage in the passersby. He's just holding that needy hand. And Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So he was really saying, look on us, because we're carrying a miracle inside of us. That's what he's saying to them. So the beggar's eyes locks with theirs, power flows, and in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He rises up and walk. It changes everything for him. So Well, it's the first time he walked in his life. So what happened then was Peter's words has caused the man's focus to be on them so that their next words could put his focus on what mattered, Jesus.
Yeah.
See that? So he changed his focus. Then the man, when the focus was changed, then the man could hear the next words, which caused him to rise up in faith. And that's what happened to him. Church, can I just say to you that there are people that cross our path every single day who are just like this beggar. They're desperate for someone to speak to them. They're desperate for someone to speak words of life over them. You are carrying their answer on the inside of you. So, I just have to tell you, the whole idea of the enemy, if you want to give him a good kick, don't lock yourself away. People need you now. People at the church need you now. People need you to come and assemble. People need to see you at the store. People need to see you at the red light. People need to see you at Home Depot. People need to see you. People need to talk to you because you are carrying something they need. So, well, we're just going to hide away because we're in the end days. Well, that's not what we're called to do. Amen. All right. So, when Peter said that, so everything began to change. One of the things that happened, he got his eyes off the autopilot, he changed the focus. But then what happened was Peter was able to preach to the people in the temple. Because he goes in there leaping around, and Peter's saying, let me tell you how this happened. So then that miracle opened the door for many more things to happen. So when that person lights up and someone gets something from them, everybody around's going to see it.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So they were carrying what he needed. So he just needed to see it. He was able to move his focus because of words spoken. Now, let me help you with your focus for the next few minutes, okay? You are God's child. You are an ambassador in this earth. Holy Spirit is in you and on you. He works kinetically, okay? He will move out here when truth comes into focus and faith is released, okay? Think about this. Light is the offspring of sound, is it? Light beamed when sound was released. And light has the sonic signature of God. It has a frequency all its own. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God haters also have a frequency. They have a sound. It's a toxic sound. It's violent. It pushes back the divine parent and its purposes. But it is not a stronger frequency. We have the stronger frequency. So, but darkness has a song. And that song says no to every yes. It says death to all the life. It says stop to every go. It says instead of look at God, look at me. And to every possibility, it says impossible. That's what darkness says. That's its frequency all the time. That's the person who's living in that frequency will always say this. Well, if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. That's the frequency of darkness. Or, man, I'm going to catch this and I'm going to die. That's the frequency of darkness. That's the frequency of it. Or, I'll never make it. They've all made it, but I'll never prosper. That's the frequency of darkness. Or, I hate them and I'm never going to forgive them. That's the frequency of darkness. Or, you know what? I'm just not doing anything on this earth. I think I just need to go to heaven. That is the frequency of darkness. Amen. So that's what God haters do. Now, you were born into a fallen world. Okay. But then you were born again into this world of limitless possibilities while residing in this toxic fallen world. So you're living in a different realm, even though there is this toxic world. If you want to. So successfully thriving in this fallen world requires a non-stop supply of sustenance from the kingdom that you are from. So you're going to have that. Now, it's like being an ambassador to a poor country where it's just, war-torn and just really bad, and you come from a country of strength and peace and stability and prosperity, and they send you there, and you're going to do a job there. Well, your home country doesn't require you to live at the level of the war-torn country. They send you what you need, or at least that's how it used to be. Praise the Lord. That's how it's supposed to be. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I don't mind saying that. That's how it's supposed to be. So, you're supposed to go over as an ambassador. And when you're in an embassy, the grass grows green all the way to the gate, even if the rest of it's desert. Yeah. So that's how it's supposed to be. That's how the kingdom's supposed to be. Now, whether all the countries on earth are doing that or not, the kingdom is doing it. You are led beside the green pastures and the still waters. That belongs to you now. You can have green grass. Even in the midst of everything that's going on, your green grass can go right up to the fence line. Amen. And I'd like to tell you, it can go beyond. So, it allows you to live at the level of the mother country, does it? And our mother country is heaven. And so we need to live at that level. Church, how are you supposed to have a quality, upward progressing life if you're always a part of the problem? I remember Danny teaching something about how are you going to be an asset to the kingdom? Don't be a liability. Be an asset to the kingdom. And so that's what we're talking about today, about getting our focus, helping our focus so that we will be an asset so we can help other people. I said this when we started. I just want to say it again. It's too late just to use your faith for a debt-free home. You can do that, and you can believe God for cars and guitars and everything else. But now we need to put our faith to saving some other things, like people.
Yes,
that's good. And saving this country. Amen. So you have to be a part of the answer. And so that answer is, it's a multi-layered scenario. We have to get into it. We have to flow into it. So we have to learn to utilize the supernatural endowments and the provisions of our citizenship. We're going to use them. And we really can learn to live where we have all of God's ability at our full disposal. We can actually do that. And so how do I know? Well, it wasn't exactly the best of times when Peter and John were walking into the temple. And that we could, if we look through history, we always watch the historical movies. And we like the English stuff. So we've seen all the World War movies and how the English did. There were some rough times for a lot of times on this earth. And things would cycle. They would always cycle. And there would be good years and there'd be years that weren't so good. But here you are, sitting here. You came in a good vehicle. Anybody ride a mule today? Felt like it? No. Everybody came from a nice home. Everybody's doing well. Praise the Lord. Y'all look pretty good. Your hair's combed and everything. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're really doing pretty good, even in the midst of some things that we don't like. But God. Amen. So we're going to utilize this because we're supposed to have an overcoming life. Now, I just want to go a little bit further with this with you. I want to touch on two more things to help you with your focus. So I want to talk about the rapture. You're like, is that where we want to go? Yeah, let's go over. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:15. I want to show you something about the rapture. You'll like this. This will help your focus. You're like, now, wait a minute. Is this escape? No, we're not going there. We're not escaping yet. We're here to work. So 1 Thessalonians 4:15, tell me when you get there. Praise the Lord. Okay, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You know what would be really cool? This is just a sideline, but I just thought about this. Wouldn't it be cool if there was just a little bit of space between them raising up and us going? That way a lot of people would get saved really fast when they saw all their loved ones walking around. And like, oh, there goes Mama. Oh, well, Mama. Yeah, right? I mean, that would be cool. Well, you know, dream big. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, you're going to like this. The Lord Jesus is going to shout to all the dead in Christ. He's not going to say, psst, hey, baby. Baby, wake up now. Wake up, honey. Honey, wake up. He's going to shout. He's going to shout. It's going to be louder than most things that has ever been heard. And he's going to shout with divine frequencies of creation itself. Now, every subatomic particle that made up each human will come from wherever it is and gather at his command and reassemble. Amen. This is basically a reenactment of Genesis 1:7. That's what this is. God using sound to create and recreate. And I think this sound is actually going to have every musical frequency that was used in creation all at once. Every musical sound, every drum beat you ever thought of, it's going to come forth. It's going to be just awesome. Now, the law of conservation of matter states that matter, with no regard to particle size or location, can never be destroyed, only changed or rearranged. That's right. Now, let me just, for those of you who need to hear that one more time. The law of conservation of matter states that matter, with no regard to particle size or location, can never be destroyed, only changed or rearranged. Okay? Can I go there, Lord? Okay. So, like atoms, energy cannot disappear. It only relocates. Okay. So you don't have to worry. So my family and most of the people I grew up with that have grown older and gone to heaven, they're buried in what's called the San Marcos City Cemetery. My parents are there. They're buried next to my grandparents. My brother's buried there. Jonas is buried there. I can walk through there and see all the neighbors I grew up with. They're all in there. But there's an interesting grave in there. And I can't call his last name, but his first name is Billy. And you know where I'm going. Yeah. And he's got a tombstone in there, and it says, here lies the leg of Billy. Of the temple. Of the temple of Billy McGillicuddy. Lucy's brother. No. Okay, so we made up his name. But it's really there. His leg of his temple is really there. You know, it's been there since I was a kid, and I used to scratch my head over that, but I don't anymore because I know about something. Yeah. That leg will be right back on Billy.
Wow.
And people that have been torn up in bombs are going to be right back together.
Yeah.
And people that were cremated will be right back together. It's like, how's God going to get everybody back together? Because he's the creator. matter, because he made you out of dust in the first place. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to have your parts and better, and mom and them are going to be whole and good. Everything. But you got to get this. We're talking about the rapture here. This is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to shout. He's going to make sound that causes subatomic particles to get back together. I believe you got your focus now. Now, the Greek word for shout, I didn't write it down. It's kinkamunga, something like that. And I'll bring it next time. It shout is not just, hey! Shout is a loud command. It means loud command in the Greek. It's not just, hey, how's your mom and them? Real loud. That's not what it is. It is, I'm commanding something to happen, like, light be. That's how it is. It's that kind of thing. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So that voice, that loud voice. Now, notice that he was was accompanied by the voice of an archangel. So there's two people making noise.
Yeah.
And I know you're going, why does the angel need to shout? Well, for more preaching by Roxanne Alexander, you'll have to. No. I tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm studying that out. Why, Lord? Why? But this is what I come up with so far. I believe, archangels are royalty in heaven. And so they're captains over classes of angels. So everything's getting gathered on the scene. Are you with me? So everything's getting gathered on the scene. So his shout was not embedded in Jesus' shout. He has a separate shout. So he's doing one of two things, as far as I can tell. And if you study it, come let me know. I want to know if this is the truth. He's either making a summons with them and a summons, or he is building a crossfire. Now, look at y'all. Oh. Walk with me. Just walk with me. We'll get there. So he could be he could have been worshiping. He could have been, Jesus is shouting, and he could have been glory to God. There's some sort of reason for it. Man, it got quiet in here. Everybody's like, huh? I don't know all of this yet. But I do know he had to have made that sound for a purpose. And I did not agree with any commentator I looked at. And most of them skipped it. They wouldn't even answer that. But we will know. We'll know soon. I don't mind telling you that I haven't come to the end of that. Now this thing is projected toward the earth with Jesus' shout. So Jesus' shout is the same shout that created in the beginning. And I believe that angel's was either a summons or an empowering worship. Now, if you'll stay with me, you'll see why I think that. So, now, back to the rapture. If you've ever wondered how everybody's going to get back together, you now have your answer. You don't have to be concerned. Everything and everyone he created still exist in a form, and he can call them back together with a shout. Okay? So maybe you might want to meditate on the fact that the same spirit that created and raised the dead is living on the inside of you. Thank you, Lord. Now, just in case you don't think you're worthy of this, let's go to Isaiah 6:1. We want to just push everything out of the way here. Isaiah 6:1. Thank you, Lord. I hear the wheels rolling. I'm going to find out about that angel. I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out about that angel. Me too. I see Ronnie going, yeah, I'll find out about that. I'll probably be getting text all night long. It was the da-na-na. Okay, so Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Glory to God. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Glory to God. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. That's the glory. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and with it said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Now, this man did not feel worthy of what he's seen. He didn't feel worthy of carrying a message, because he felt like he just, his mouth had been out of order, like some of us feel. But the grace of God came right in on that and changed him. Now, you've already been changed. You have been made clean by the word that has been spoken over you, according to John 15. This belongs to you. You are cleansed right now. And the word's washing you right now. And so you have the right, and I'm going to use a Nancy word here, Pastor Nancy. You are authorized to speak and decree. You're authorized to do that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you can't turn away from that. Now, verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" And so then he was ready to go. Are you ready to go? Because you're going to be sent. Oh, by the way, remember when we prayed over everybody Sunday morning? Some of you already know this. The thermostats know this. But we prayed over everybody, and everybody received a fresh anointing to win people to Jesus. Amen. Fresh anointing to minister. And we prayed over everyone. And when I got to Deb, the Lord spoke to me through me and said, "And you'll be first." And so, behold, on Sunday afternoon, Deb won two people to the Lord. And so you're next. Glory to God. She didn't go out and stand on the corner and do this. She was at a meeting with Joy and Susanna, I think. And they fell right into her lap. It's not hard. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah is so full. There's too much to go into. So we're just going to go this way. In fact, we talked about his mouth, so let's go backwards. Those seraphim, I should say. They're flying around the Father 24/7. And they are crying. Now, they're not crying. They're not wah wah. They're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." That's what they're doing. And they're raving and boasting about how awesome and wonderful and perfect God is. And when they do this, it creates an atmosphere of heavenly substance we call glory between their faces. I submit to you that it was in this supercharged atmosphere that God lifted up his voice and said, "Light be." He exists in a supercharged atmosphere, and he's not doing it by himself. He has these forces around him. Now, he can do what he wants to by himself, but he gets everybody involved, and he wants to get you involved. Amen. And so this worship that's going on is producing an atmosphere that will bring forth power and miracles. You can probably see where I'm going now. Amen. So, when we started tonight, We talked about how you were born again into this fallen world. You're born into this fallen world, but then you're born again into a supernatural kingdom. And you have this kinetic agent living on the inside of you who can move. He can do what he needs to do. And he's brooding over the deep around you. He's brooding over the deep. That's what he did over Mary. That's what he did over the deep. That's what he did over the Tohu Vabohu. He was brooding over it, and as soon as the word was spoken, it happened. It needed a shout. It needed a frequency. Needed frequency. The angels are creating frequency. The angel next to Jesus at the rapture is creating frequency. The seraphim is what I was talking about. They're creating frequency. Supercharged atmosphere. Right when there was an angel there with Mary, and when she says, "Be it done unto me according to this word," then there was enough energy there. You know there were more angels there, but there was enough energy there that she became pregnant with the Son of God. The Lord, the Holy Spirit was hovering, waiting for word. So you have this Holy Spirit in you, on you, kinetic agent. Now we're looking at these angels who are worshiping God and creating a supernatural charged atmosphere. They are doing something called crossfire worship. When they're doing holy, 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 face to face, they're crossfiring. They're crossfiring. That supernatural energy is going. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all get that? It's building up. It's crossfire. What's a crossfire? When you, if you walk through where people were shooting, the Hatfields and McCoys were shooting at each other, you better duck. But in this case, you just want to drink it all in.
Yeah.
Right? God's angelic beings engage in a crossfire of worship. And from each side of the throne, they are doing all this worshiping and boasting about God. And now we walk through this and we see who we are. Perhaps it's time for us to get in the crossfire. Perhaps we just need to get in the crossfire. Perhaps we need to worship God face to face in this crossfire. Worship in the crossfire. Go up. Get in the heavenly substance we call glory. Get supercharged so that miracles can come forth. Perhaps we just need to do that. We need to start worshiping God, not just singing songs, not just going, "Man, Jesse's good. Let's just follow with Jesse." But worshiping God with Jesse. Worshiping God. Worshiping God. Those of you that are musicians, you're so privileged. Those of you that sing, you're so privileged because you are carrying sound. You're making sound that God can move on. Lynn Mink said that he was had put down his guitar. A bunch of people were playing in somewhere he was when he was a kid, and he had put down his guitar, and he had, I'm looking up something that I thought he said, and his guitar's over here, and they're playing. And he had walked away from everyone, and he noticed that when they played a certain note, that string, let's just go with E, E would resonate on his guitar. That's called sympathetic vibration. You're aware of it, I'm sure. So deep calls to deep. So there's this vibration. that's coming forward every time you're psalming with that guitar, every time you're flowing in that, every time you're singing. It's that there's the possibility of a miracle. There's a possibility of healing. There's all sorts of possibility when you're worshiping God and you get high up into that crossfire of the glory, things can happen. It's time to, we got to stop patty caking or being the diva, or which we don't have it in our house, or, you know, God's man of the hour. You know, this is all about Jesus. It's all about worshiping Jesus. It's all about, so maybe you don't hit the pitch. I don't care. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah, now, we love it if you can sing. That's good. It's pleasing. All words and stories can be put into song. You know how I know? Have you ever heard of opera? That's what they do. They're singing the story, right? They're just singing the story. But the sounds that you make with your voice, they're world-changing if you'll do it. And when you get in the mix of the face-to-face, Randy, when you get in that mix where it's not just you, it's wonderful that it's you and Jesus at your house and all that, but when we come together in this anointing and we get in there and we do this, God is going to respond. So when we started this tonight, I said, how many of you are ready to go to the next level? Because we don't really have any time to waste. Well, here's your opportunity. It's in the worship. It's got to start in the worship. Whew, I just felt the Spirit of God hit me on that. Just got a big, just then. Because it's in the worship. Because if you get in the worship, I got to tell you one more story. So Lynn Mink, he's a psalmist. I don't know if you know a lot about him. He was the guy. You've probably, most of you are newer to Brother Copeland, but he started with Brother Copeland like 4 decades ago. And he was a very young man, and he had already been on Johnny Carson and all those shows as a secular singer. I mean, he was raised over there on the Blue Ridge Mountains. And he could play music and do all kinds of things. He was really good at it. You probably didn't know that about him. He's just such a sweet person. And his wife was a model. And they've been sold out to Jesus for a long time. But he said one day he was worshiping the Lord, and he said, I had to go to the store. So he goes to the store, and he says, you know what, I'm going to stay in the crossfire. I'm just going to stay in it because there's not very many people in the store. I'll just kind of hum along, and I'll just worship the Lord. He said he was in the store, and there wasn't very many people in there. And he's standing there. I don't know. Maybe he's looking at the cereal. I don't know what he's looking at. He's kind of just... He's just in that place. Thank you, Jesus. He's just worshiping the Lord. And he said, a man comes running down the aisle and wraps his arms around him. And just is wailing, crying. And he says, I can see the light on you. I feel the light. And he was a preacher who had backslidden, and he gave his life back to God. In the store. And I know you know Brother Jerry's story. Walking around with a little light beaming on his head in the mall, and people ladies run up to him and say, I was following the light. I knew I'd see you here. God told me you would be here, and here you are. Well, how'd you find me? I could see the light over the top of your head. See, you got that same light. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to turn it up, because we're going to engage in the glory. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you ride on sound. We thank you, Lord, that you are the creator. And Father, we thank you that we can enter in with all that you're doing with sound coming from us, coming to you, speaking with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.